Good morning. I'm Laura Lee Axtell. Welcome to worship. Like Mary and Elizabeth, we share the anticipation of what God is birthing through Jesus and in all of our lives. Always, we extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast today is sponsored by Hilton and Fran Schloop in appreciation for friends, and by Jane Schutte in honor of Sarah's birthday on December 23rd, and in memory of Butch Schutte. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. Thank you to all who support this ministry. The message today is The Way of the Manger by Pastor Jan. Zion United Church of Christ would love to welcome you and share the joy and beauty of Christmas with you and your loved ones. Please join us on Christmas Eve for our candlelight service at 5:30. The chancel and the bell choirs will be participating in the worship service on Christmas Eve. Please meet at the church at 4:30. The bell choir is also playing on Christmas Eve. If you are interested in joining this group, contact Pastor Susan. The bell choir will meet at 4:30 on Christmas Eve. Thank you to everyone who provided a poinsettia for the sanctuary. You may take your plant following the service on Christmas Eve. The Christmas letter offering will be collected this morning in honor of all who faithfully serve and in memory of Larry Lehman. The council voted to designate the proceeds of our Christmas offering for the Leeser County Food Shelf, where Larry and Cindy gave selflessly of their time and energy. Your gift will support the vital work of feeding the people in our community who are fighting battles daily to provide enough food for their loved ones. End of year giving. Please remember that any donations received after December 31st will be counted toward 2025 giving. The 2025 offering envelopes are available in the overflow area. If you don't see one with your name, please contact the church office. And remember, don't use them until after January 1st. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
I'm Bob Brown, president of our church council here, and I just wanted to take a minute to give you a financial update. The good news is, as of the end of November, our expenses are about $8,000 less than was budgeted. However, the rest of the story isn't as rosy as that. Pledged contributions are about 10% short of what was promised, and other giving is about 35% below projections. So please check to see if you have met your pledged amount, and if you haven't, please try to catch up before the end of the year. Most of you know that Betty and I have had our ups and downs this year, but one constant comfort has been our church family. In thanksgiving for all the prayers and support we have received, we have decided to give 10% more than our original pledge. We ask you to think about what the Zion family means to you. And if you are able, we hope you will join us in giving over your pledged amount so we can end the year in good financial health and start 2025 in a good position to continue all the wonderful things that are happening here. Thank you.
Nobody knew that night, only those who were told. Nobody knew that night, only those who heard. The wonder of the Savior's birth, the dazzling brightness in the heavens, the quiet pondering of a mother's heart. Nobody knew that night. Only those who believed the message of the angels.
God of hope, peace, joy, and love, today as we light the fourth Advent candle, open our ears to the wonder of your world, open our eyes to the promise of salvation, open our hearts that we may receive the gift, open our hands to pray, prepare and serve in the name of Jesus, who came to be the light in our darkness. Amen. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The maiden will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Last Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. Today, we light the joy candle, the candle of peace, and the candle of hope again, as we remember that Jesus, born in Bethlehem, will come again to fulfill all of God's promises and bring us everlasting hope, peace, and joy. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we light this candle of love as a symbol of Joseph, who knocks at the door ready to take his place among royalty. Today we give thanks for the Josephs among us, migrating from far from home when there is no choice, fiercely devoted to the ones they love, unwavering in their belief that there is room for all in the kingdom of God. O God of hope, peace, joy, and love, bless to us the light from these candles, that they may be to us a reminder of your unbending truth, your unending grace, and endless peace to us through Christ, the light of the world. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you please join together now in our opening hymn, number 8, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and standing as we sing. sisters and brothers in Christ, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of each heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. We are captive, O God, and we are in exile because we have each in our own way chosen our own path away from you. We hunger for wisdom and knowledge because we have too often substituted our judgment for yours. We are lost in need of your guidance and mercy. Come, Lord Jesus, and restore us. Friends, the good news to us this fourth Sunday of Advent is this. In Jesus Christ, God has stepped in and rescued us. Through our baptism, we are cleansed, made new, inside and out, by God's Holy Spirit. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, poured out his life so that you and I might have abundant life. God has restored our relationship and given us back our lives. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, as God's own holy people, forgiven and set free, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. One of my great joys as pastor of this church is to announce things that bring joy to all of us, and that is a special announcement today about the birthday of Donald Schwartz, who turns 100 today. And Don, we're so glad that you're here this morning, and we won't ask you to stand, even though you are wearing a suit and tie. Let's sing Happy Birthday to Don, shall we? And many more. This morning I have a couple of prayer concerns, and let's hold in prayer David Tesh. This is the brother-in-law of Cindy Lehman. He had open heart surgery. He's now resting at the Le Sueur Nursing Home and receiving therapy. Please hold David in your prayers. We also have news about Suzanne Gilbert. She is at home with her sister Janet, and she has been on hospice care, but she's still with us, and so prayers for the entire family as they keep vigil at this time. I also have some troubling news and would like you to hold in your prayers this week the family of Lisa Pinney Johnson. As you know, Lisa is the daughter of Mark and Diane Pinney. Lisa is an ordained pastor serving a Presbyterian church here in Minnesota, and has done a wonderful job, recently received her Doctor of Ministry degree. She's an exceptional person and much beloved by that family. Lisa has received some troubling news from her physicians in Rochester. Mark and Diane are with the family this day, and I ask that you please hold that family tenderly in your hearts as they anticipate a struggle ahead. Will you join with me now in prayer? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of life, for the wonderful life of Donald Schwartz turning 100 today, for the presence of his family here. We thank you for the life of Lisa Johnson, for all that she is to her congregation, for all that she is to her family. Lord God, surround her and her entire family with your tender, loving care. We thank you, God, for the gifts of love and joy during this season, for gifts of comfort when we do not or cannot feel that joy. We thank you for gifts of healing and mercy, for gifts of patience and serenity, for gifts of hope as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. Lord God, we pray for all families this day. We pray for the family of David Tesh as he continues to receive therapy. We give you thanks and praise for the sense of victory that Bob Brown's family has as he continues to recover and enjoy good health. Lord Jesus Christ, you came into this world and lived in a human family, so you know only too well the ups and downs of normal family life. And we pray for all our families, especially the children as they grow up, that they might learn how to face the difficulties and celebrate the joys of everyday life. We remember those families this time of year who are caught up in financial difficulty, those who may face unemployment or hardship. May they have the constant comfort of knowledge of your love and your care for them. We remember families where lives have been shattered by a family being broken up, whether by desertion or divorce or death. We pray that you'll bring healing to the deep wounds that are made and give them such a sense of your love that they may be able to form new and loving relationships. For all those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, we name them now in silence before you, O God. We pray for all those who are bereaved, those who remain in grief, that they would find comfort in their sorrow. And we thank you for the assurance of our salvation we find in Christ Jesus. Christ, your presence changes our world. So we pray that we may indeed be made new and born once again. That the whole world would be reshaped as your kingdom emerges around us and within us. May your spirit stir within us today and cause us to long for the day when earth will in fact be like heaven. Until that day, Lord, we pray in the name of Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. The first scripture reading this morning is Psalms 80. Give, O ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who have enthralled upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Second scripture is from Micah 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrath, you who one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me, you who to this rule is Israel, those origins is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore we shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they may live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be one of the peace. May God add a blessing to this reading and hearing of the word. The gospel reading this morning is from Luke 1, verses 6 through 37. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of the ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And how your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her, for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God."
The gospel reading continues with chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. Hear the word of the Lord. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. We ask your blessing upon each of us as you examine the imaginations of our hearts. Speak to us now through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Stealing baby Jesus. You know, it's happening everywhere these days. In fact, it's happening in cities from Dallas to Detroit. But back in 1999, there was a big story in the Chicago Tribune about how the baby Jesus figure had been stolen from the manger at Daly Plaza. Eventually, the police recovered the baby at a bus station after an anonymous tip. After that, they started securing the little figure of baby Jesus with a cord and a bolt and a padlock fastened to the manger to prevent anybody from ever stealing it again. But even that didn't work, because in 2004, the same thing happened again. This time, it was a college student, 19 years old. Now there's a team of people who stand watch there, making sure that the little figure of baby Jesus doesn't get stolen again. The goal of their team is to make sure that baby Jesus never leaves the manger. Now, in a city of towering buildings, full of jewelry stores and banks, what is this fascination with something so small? This observation from a Christian journal, I think has it right. Whatever God's kingdom may one day become, it starts out as the smallest of things. You know, the great developments throughout the human race are often hidden in quiet beginnings. A little strand of DNA, a tiny atom, a virus, no noise, no flashing lights until something extraordinary happens. Little things, little places, people of little consequence that change the world. That's the world of the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem, you who are little among the clans of Judah, out of you shall come forth one who is to lead my people. Kind of remarkable how a place so little, a minor detail of geography, captured the heart of the prophet a full 750 years before Jesus was born. And from that insignificant little town of about 400 people, God is going to bring forth the Savior of nations. Now, ours is a God who created the Milky Way, Mount Everest, the humpback whale, and yet the scriptures tell us that God also has a special place for all the little things of this world. You remember from scripture, the cup of cold water, the widow's offering, a lost coin, a mustard seed. This love for small, seemingly inconsequential things shines a light on the scriptures today. In Luke, we hear there's a tidal wave coming, a revolution of love moving silently toward the hatred and sin in this world. Now, history shows us that revolutions are usually signaled with protests, like the Boston Tea Party. They often begin with gunfire, like the first shots heard at Fort Sumter back in the Civil War. But not here. Not with God. The greatest event in human history began with a song. The song sung by a simple teenage girl named Mary. She grew up in Nazareth, in what is now northern Israel. The angel Gabriel appeared to her and announced that she, of all people, had been chosen to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. This Mary that we meet in Luke doesn't really sound like a 13 or 14-year-old girl, though, does she? The Mary we meet today had to have been given a wisdom and a vision far beyond her years. The angel Gabriel revealed the effect that this son of hers was going to have on the world. And in her song, the Magnificat, Mary announced a revolution of God's favor for the poor, for the forgotten, for the powerless. And without ever raising a weapon, Jesus, her son, would turn this world upside down. Now, what about the Roman Senate that was powerful at the time? What about the Kremlin, so powerful today? What about presidents and prime ministers and kings? What about Congress and Wall Street? What does that news of a Savior mean to the citadels of power in this world? Will they be left standing? Mary's song doesn't say that. This reversal of power is not going to destroy or annihilate, as all revolutions usually do. This inbreaking of God's love is going to instead bring healing and hope. It's an uprising that begins not with cannon fire, but with a baby. born not in a gated community or a skyscraper, but in a barn, in a stable. That is the way of the manger. You see, this song of Mary is an anthem of hope for those of us who feel small and forgotten. It's a hymn of comfort for those who suffer. And when Mary sings, she proclaims that her soul is going to magnify God, enlarge the power of God in her own small life. And that manger where Mary laid her child, that's the unmistakable sign that God is with us in the barren places of our own lives. When our dreams are falling apart. When we feel obscure and unimportant. When you and I were hoping for something better out of life, maybe we were exactly where God needed us to be, where God can use us most. I really like what John Piper said about this. He's a pastor up in the Twin Cities. He said, "The lesson of the manger is that real faith is believing and trusting in God, not because of our circumstances, but trusting God through our circumstances." Let's be honest with ourselves. Do we have faith in God because everything's going our way? You ever let the situation you're in determine whether or not you're going to believe in God? Plenty of people do that. Respectable people. Reasonable people. But there's nothing in Mary's song that's reasonable or respectable, at least not in the way we usually think of those terms. There's something in this song that absolutely defies the conventional wisdom of respectability. Mary's going to trust God no matter what. You see, there's a scandal in the making here. One that's going to get dredged up and hinted at for the rest of Mary's life. And yet Mary's still going to give that life for something that Simeon said would eventually break her heart, would pierce her own soul. I think Mary's song of praise reminds us he has brought down the mighty from their thrones. And this doesn't happen to shame and punish the rich and powerful in the world. This is to make the rough places plain. This is to restore the balance God intended for the world. Which means if you and I want to be in right relationship with God, if we want to love God with our whole hearts, it means something else in our lives is going to have to be taken off the scale. Hopefully we understand that. Hopefully we understand that we've all magnified or hyped up the wrong things in this world, haven't we? So the question for us is, this final Sunday of Advent, what are you magnifying in your own life? Is it your regrets? Is it your house or your car? Your bank account? Your best laid plans? This is why it's so important that we remember the mother of Jesus today. We remember her as the only human person on earth who ever knew the Lord every single day of his life. And being that very human mother, she was desperate to find her 12-year-old son when she thought he was lost in Jerusalem. Mary was the mother who pushed her son ahead of his time to provide wine for a wedding in Cana. And Mary was also the mother who thought her son was out of his mind. She was the one who stood at the door begging to see her son. You know, in all those ways, Mary was a parent much like you and I might be. A wise and wonderful woman who knows her son. And yet she cannot quite make out this unsearchable mind of God that dwells within him. Fully human, fully God. Let's remember Mary today, not only as the gentle mother of a helpless little baby, but also the mother who held the lifeless body of her son on a hillside just outside Jerusalem. Seen in that light, maybe that's why at Christmas time, every mother can understand Mary. Every father who ever lost a child understands Joseph. And they might feel this strange mixture of grief and joy. And maybe that's why tears come so easily to us this time of year. The father whose child is stricken with cancer. The parents of a young soldier killed by a roadside bomb. The parents of children from Sandy Hook Elementary. And now the parents and families in Madison, Wisconsin. Many years ago, just before Christmas, I was serving as a chaplain on call overnight on a Friday at St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester. My pager had been noisy all night long, and I just sat down at my desk so I could quickly write down some notes, and then my pager sounded again. Francis Building 3C, the pediatric hospital, intensive care. Well, I stopped at the desk to get a little information from the nurses. I was told Charlie, an 8-month-old, had been in and out of intensive care since about Easter. He was born with multiple birth defects. Charlie wasn't expected to even live but a few days, but up until that night in December, Charlie had always somehow defied the odds. But just days earlier, Charlie's mother had a nervous breakdown. The doctors had gone in and explained that Charlie wouldn't be able to survive until Christmas. Constantly on a feeding tube, on and off the breathing machines, attached to heart monitors, recurring infections. I tried to imagine being the mother of a child who seemed destined to suffer. And at 8 o'clock that night, the staff had removed him from life support. These were the last hours of a brief, beautiful little life. Charlie's grandma greeted me as I came into the room, and she told me Charlie's story, the night of his birth in the spring, the delight and the grief that he brought about in their little family. "He's a real snuggler," the grandma said. "I hold him every chance I can get." And now off those machines that kept him alive, Charlie's grandma held him close, and he just loves it when we sing, she said. She began singing, "Jesus Loves Me." "Here, Pastor, why don't you hold him?" And inside my mind, for just a nanosecond, I had these silent, selfish thoughts. Why don't I hold Charlie? I'll tell you why. Because if I hold him, I may never go back to work at this hospital. Because my eyes will burn with tears, and I'll want to cry out to heaven, not just for Charlie, but for all the babies and children in this world who are suffering, abused or neglected or simply born into a broken world. But then, as if my arms were moved by some unseen power, I reached out for Charlie and I held him as if he were my very own. He was warm and innocent and still so very much alive. Is that why people keep stealing baby Jesus? Because that little figure of Jesus stands for more hope than our hearts can possibly ever hold. Do they steal that little baby Jesus in hopes that this endless grace of heaven might enter their hard, cold, sad, sinful lives? You know, whatever the reason, you and I, as followers of Christ, can be stolen with Jesus. You and I who follow Christ can pray for the strength to hold that little Christ child who lives and breathes in every soul on earth. The poor, the forgotten, even our enemies. So will we be there to enlarge and magnify God? To make room not only for our grievances, but room for God to redeem and heal those same hurts of ours? That too is the way of the manger. And one thing seems clear. You cannot answer the call of God and stay exactly where you are. You'll keep moving. We're not going to be able to keep Jesus in the manger. We won't be able to steal him away and keep him all to ourselves. And we cannot keep him in the safe embrace of Mary and Joseph. This Son of God is on a mission to save us. All of us. And not even the cross will stop him. Glory to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, before your throne of grace we stand speechless and in awe of all that you have done for us. Move our hearts, O Lord. Move us so that we might care for all of your children in this world, young and old, rich and poor, regardless of their station in life. Move us, gracious God, to be servants of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to join together now and sing Away in a Manger, and I believe you'll find that in number 1 in your hymn booklet. Away in a Manger. ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Gracious God, we thank you that you can use us just as we are right now, whatever our circumstance. We thank you that you love the small things of this world, and we pray that our gifts, great or small, may be used for the building up of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please remain standing now for our benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you in your work and play, in your happiness and sorrow, in this life and the next. May God be with you. Amen. Please join together now in singing our closing hymn, Christ Be Our Light.